Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Now, a woman whose personal injury award for being knocked off a Dublin bike was reduced because she wasn't wearing a helmet, and she's consulting her lawyers about taking her appeal. Her damages were reduced by €4,000 on the basis of contributory negligence. And there's no legal obligation to wear a helmet or high-vis clothing, but the Road Safety Authority of Ireland recommends cyclists wear both for safety. So, should wearing a cycle helmet be made mandatory, and how would this affect children who are on their bikes, or is this just taking the focus off improving driver awareness? I'm joined by two cyclists on this, transport consultant Conor Faulkner and Tim Lynch, consultant neurologist at the Dublin Neurological Institute at the Mater Hospital, and you're both welcome. Thank you for joining me on this one. Conor, first to you, helmets for cycling, specifically or not, whether we should wear them when we ride, it tends to be a topic, isn't it, that elicits a strong opinion from cyclists and non-cyclists alike. Would you agree?
Yeah, it seems to be a hot button issue, Claire, and you know, people get triggered by it. And essentially, on one side, you have a cycling lobby, if you like, who say that cycling should be normal, it should be an everyday thing. You shouldn't have to wear high-vis and helmets. You shouldn't need them in a safe urban environment, in cities like Copenhagen, for example, or some of the European cities. There are huge numbers of cyclists, and they don't wear helmets, and they're very safe. To my mind, the real problem with cycling helmets is not that they're not effective. They are, and it's very good practice to wear them. The difficulty, Claire, is that when you make them compulsory, no matter what you intend the outcome of that law to be, what actually happens is that the number of people cycling goes down. So it's an unintended consequence. And to my mind, I would not agree with making cycling helmets compulsory.
Because you think it'll put people off cycling.
It will. Yeah, it will. I mean, consider the Dublin bikes, for example. I use them myself very regularly, and they're very convenient. You can hop on them, hop off them. But if you had to wear a helmet, effectively, you'd cut potential users by 90%.
Okay.
Do you carry your own helmet around with you? It puts people off. And just as much so using their own bikes. As I say, helmet use is growing. It's becoming more commonplace. People are listening to the advice. Safety in that sense is probably improving.
Mm-hmm.
But the act of making it compulsory, unfortunately, does more harm than good, no matter how good your intention.
Tim, what do you say to that?
So as a neurologist, I suppose I'm interested in the mind and brain, which is a pretty special organ. So your 100 billion neurons are up there and nicely bathed in all these glial cells and CSF that bathes around it. And it's a delicate organ. It sloshes around inside your skull. So when you get a head injury, unfortunately, coming off a bike, you have what we call a coup-contra-coup injury. Your head hits the ground, the skull stops, the brain still keeps moving inside the skull and gets smacked off the front and smacked off the back as it ricochets back and forth, injuring the brain, which can be, of course, mild, like a concussion, and then you recover over a period of time. But you get moderate to severe, and severe means either death or disability, and that means cognitive impairment requiring care for the rest of your life, which is a problem. So then you look at the data. So the data is the key thing here. And as Conor says, helmets are helpful. I mean, there's hard data for that. There's a group called the Cochrane Systematic Review in the UK. It's a very jaundiced group of people who assess data very carefully and issue reports on a regular basis. And they've done three of those on helmets. In one of them, they've shown, or in the review, a 63 to about an 80% drop in significant head injury if you wear a bicycle helmet. So helmets are good.
And they work.
Yes.
But what about Conor's point? If you make them compulsory, you put people off cycling, particularly the casual user who's maybe using the Dublin Bikes system.
Yep. So then I suppose the other two reviews, one was looking at the non-legislative approach, which is encouraging, which I think is important and definitely worthwhile, and Conor's correct. We need to try and educate people and children upwards, particularly that it's important to be properly geared up if you're on the bike, because you can come off it. You will come off the bike at some stage. That's shown to be somewhat effective, but there was a further review by the Cochrane Group looking at legislation, and they showed the bike helmet use went up from about 45% to 85% when you legislated for it on top of it. So as a neurologist, when I see that, I see helmets good. If you have legislation, you use more helmets. Connor's point about less use of helmets is a valid point, particularly for the city bikes. But there must be ways and means we can figure that out. One is you could have free helmets, which could be cheap helmets available at the bikes. And that has been looked at as one of the studies looking at the non-legislative way of encouraging bike use. So there's got to be a way around that. And then also, Connor knows, our transport system in Dublin really is not adequate at all at this stage. Whether, you know, we need a metro, we need a decent system to get the cars off the road. We don't have that. We have a whole series of bike lanes being put in recent times. They're not the same standard as the Netherlands or in Denmark either way. Connor mentioned Denmark. That's kind of interesting, I suppose, because, I mean, do accidents, bicycle accidents happen in Denmark? Well, absolutely. There were 16,500 patients treated in 2014 in hospital for falling off their bike in Denmark. And I'm not sure the majority of those were single. They weren't hit by car. They just falls. So that we have to consider that, yes, you can get hit by a car, but also you can fall off your bike. My young son came off his bike about 3 weeks ago, landed on his face and broke a bunch of teeth. Now, he wasn't hit by a car, just it was a slip and down you go. So you do fall off bikes, irrespective. So we should gear up in that circumstance and accept that and decrease injuries subsequently.
So Connor, I have messages coming in here and quite a few of them would like to see mandatory helmets. And this one goes further. Helmets and high-vis jackets should be law, should be dealt with in legislation. Some people don't have lights or high-vis jackets and are impossible for motorists to see on the road. That's another reason, is it not, for mandatory safety gear?
Well, yes. And you know, it is compulsory to have lights on your bike for obvious reasons. And most people go beyond that. So if you see people cycling at night, mostly they are in high-vis and they are wearing helmets. So, you know, the practice is improving. So the debate really, there's perhaps no point of difference between Tim and I. I mean, I would certainly accept that helmets are effective and we need to improve cycling facilities. But I think if you look at countries like the Netherlands and famously Copenhagen, where nearly 50% of all commuters use bicycles, you know, it's not without its problems, as Tim has been saying. And actually, cycling numbers in Copenhagen have fallen back a little bit. So it's not like they're perfect, but it's a big sea change. You have large volumes of cyclists safely using urban cycleways. And of course, there'll be misadventure in life, but in a broad sense, it's a very safe activity for them, and it's a safe way to do it. So our debate really is, how do we get the Dublins and Corks and Limericks and Tullamores and everywhere in Ireland up to that level of cycling? You know, a key way to do that is to encourage participation. And unfortunately, despite the good intentions of legislation, I remain of the view that compulsory helmets, compulsory high-vis, actually pull cycling numbers down, and that's a retrograde step. And so everything in the space of encouragement, if you look at kids wearing cycle helmets these days, Claire, you know, 20 years ago it was the exception rather than the rule. It's near universal now. And there's other things in the promotion of cycling. We need to make sure that teenagers cycle more than they do, particularly girls. And there's a real fall off in cycling in girls' secondary schools. Uniform skirts don't help, and there's other reasons why it doesn't happen. But again, compulsory
I don't know how you look at numbers of people cycling and the drop off in teenage girls cycling and relate that to helmet wearing. I don't see how you're crossing that bridge.
Yeah, no, I don't directly, Claire, except insofar as to say that you want to do everything you can to encourage cycling. Compulsory helmet use will drag against that. It'll be an inhibitor.
Okay. So encouraging people to cycle is one thing. Keeping people alive and keeping their brains healthy is another.
Well, true, Claire. And there's absolutely no debate that if you're going to fall off your bike and you're bound to at some stage, you're much better off with a helmet on than without one. That's not a debate. So cyclists, wherever they can, should universally be wearing helmets as often as they can. And in practice, that's beginning to happen more and more as it's normalized in the culture. Look at the cyclists in Dublin today. Most of them will be wearing helmets, and that number continues to grow, and that's a good thing. So as I say, the conversation is, how do you improve these things? Is it with tougher laws, or is it some other way? We sometimes have a similar conversation about drink driving, Claire. I mean, I bet you if we asked people listening to us now, loads of people would come back and say a zero alcohol limit or much tougher drink drive laws. And you know, it's a debate, but actually by way of policy, it's probably not the best way of going about it. We have good laws at the moment we need to enforce. So in the cycling cycling space, you know, lots to do to improve cycling facilities, to encourage the development of cycling. But in my view, and I think borne out internationally, compulsory helmets is one of those things that sounds like a good idea until you try and impose it. And then you realize that the collateral problems that your well-meaning act causes.
All right. I want to bring Tim back in here, because we've some listeners saying the best thing is safe cycling lanes everywhere. That would be more beneficial, and a ban on cars in the city, and also fast, careless driving. That needs to be policed more. That's the real problem, because if we look at the other countries and other cities that Connor mentioned, where people are less inclined to wear helmets, they're cycling on safer places with better systems, infrastructure.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think the Dutch are interesting. They're a cycle culture and the best cycle culture in the world, but they have over 200 deaths per year from accidents and bikes, and they have 75,000 people hit the casualty per year coming off bikes. So it happens, irrespective, even though they're safer, and they are safer. So, and a Danish study found actually in bicycle accidents, 60% were single bike accidents. It wasn't that they hit a car, they fell off the bike. So my son 3 weeks ago came off his bike, the rubber on the handle slipped, he went over the handlebars, landed on his face and broke teeth. It happens. So it's going to happen, and you can make it more, the city safer, certainly from a car viewpoint, but there will still be accidents. So as a neurologist, protecting brain, I still think helmets on, and we've got to figure out a way around the issues, as Conrad had that with the bikes, etc., in the city.
And do you accept that it might discourage some people from cycling if they were forced to wear a helmet?
There is some data about that, and Connor I'm sure knows that in Australia that is compulsory in Melbourne and other places, and they did find a drop-off on that. But I think that's an educational aspect to it. I mean, if you get up to go on a bike, you get your gear up, you put your stuff on, pick up the helmet, get on the bike, off we go. You know, I don't see the particular issue in that. Now, on the other hand, I suppose, is it cool to wear a helmet? You can use that term. I did ask my 17-year-old yesterday this, and her point was, well, if I straighten my hair, it goes frizzy.
That's it. Helmet hair, thing.
So, okay, point made. So we got to be clever in design. So we need an Irish helmet. Let's get the best bicycle helmet in the world. Let's figure that out and make one that doesn't do that, and it can be cool and not sweaty coming off the bike. Okay, I get that. But that's something, again, that design can get to. Meantime, back at the ranch, let's protect the brain. I always think it's a bit like the starfish story, which you know, and I used that recently, which is the story of the man who goes on the beach and he sees this little boy running back and forth, throwing things into the sea, gets down to the beach, and there's hundreds and thousands of starfish who are dying and drying out on the beach. And he asks the little boy, well, why are you doing that? They're all going to die. And the boy picks up a starfish, throws in the sea, and turns. It made a difference to him.
Well, we'll leave it there. Tim Lynch, consultant neurologist, and also Connor Faulkner, transport consultant. Thank you both for joining us. We'll take a break.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.